It's at 2K.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat.
This is W2TTT. We'll start to check that in about a minute.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2, Tango, Tango, Tango. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Okay, that's a good answer. Well, good evening again, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Then it's conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.835, the 2-meter repeater of Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club, located in Pearl River, New York. This repeater uses a minus 600 kilohertz offset, and of course has a PL of 151.4, although now it is on carrier access and is generally on carrier access unless we have a reason not to. Further on, we also have a support net, or a support system of a web or an email list on Yahoo Groups. It's a closed group, and that's ComTech Group, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, Yahoo Group, you know, the ComTech Group. You're welcome to join and exchange the dialogue there. It's a good way to exchange resources. This net is a little different than most nets. This net is different than most nets because it's really about having a conversation about amateur radio, about electronics, about computers, telecommunications, the natural sciences that underlie our wonderful hobby, and also what we do with it, how we, the things we aspire to do, things we've done, and the things we never want to do again. It's always educational, that last category. And of course, you're welcome to post for sale, swap, or wanted items. So we check in one call sign at a time, if you don't mind. And we do it by call sign groups. And we check in with our call sign and then our name. And then we indicate whether we have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. And the none of the above is important because that helps us figure out how to tailor the net to your needs. Can't do that if we don't know if you're there. So we have a lot of lurkers. We're very familiar with the lurker population, but we need you to check in. So with no further ado, let's take calls from Whiskey's. I used to call sign beginning with Whiskey. Please call with your name, your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, wanted item, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, and no traffic.
Good evening, Bob. Thank you for the check-in. Any other whiskeys? All right. How about those? All right. How about alphas? right. And last but not least, do we have any Novembers?
Yes, you have November 2. Delta, India. Tom, from Paramus. Hi, Gordon. I figured since you were asking for lurkers, I'd finally chime in. Hope all's well. I'm here. Back to net.
Good evening, Tom. Welcome aboard. Nice to hear you. Alrighty. Let's see. Are there any other stations wishing to check in?
This is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Kilo Delta, Bob in Park Ridge, with a question.
Well, good evening, Robert. How are you? I approved you for the ComTech group, by the way. And if you got that email, very good. We'll take note of your question in a minute. Any other stations wishing to check in?
This is Kilo 2 Mike Echo Papa, Mike out of Hasbrook Heights, and I have a question.
Wow, good evening, Mike. Any other stations wishing to check in?
Net Control. This is K2JVS Joe from Wayne, New Jersey. No comment, just checking in. Good evening.
Good evening, Joe. Nice to hear you after a long time. Alrighty, any other stations? Any call sign?
Good evening, Gordon. K2OFC, Bob, out of North Arlington.
Good evening, Bob. What are your intentions, sir?
I think I am going to listen for the moment.
Well, I'm putting you down for a comment because I have a question for you, so I'll just be, you know, you probably know the topic, but we'll get to you in due course. Okay, very good, Bob. Anybody else? Okay, well, just a couple of things salt the exercise a little bit. We did have Operation Gotham Shield here in Metro New York and New Jersey this week, and that was quite an interesting exercise. I'm sure we'll see more of a write-up over time, at least the public aspects of it. And some of us participated. And let's see. It's getting toward that lovely time of the year where the VHF and UHF sprints start showing up. And before you know it, we'll be talking field day. So that's kind of neat, too. Some people want to talk about those things as well. I do want to point out that Mark N2MH and I did do some hilltopping with some mesh gear the other day, and that was exciting. So we'll save that for later. In the meantime, Bob, KD2BKD, what's your question, K2BAR?
Okay, this is KD2BKD. I was on the Racy's net last night, and after the net, somebody called out to me and said there's a noise coming from your radio. I recently just installed an antenna in the attic, wondering if I'm coming in loud and clear. I'm only 2 miles from this particular repeater in Orangeburg, and just wondering how is my communication to you. This is KD2BKD, back to net.
You've got an extremely low level 120 cycle hum to me. That's what it sounds like. I mean, it could be a fan, it could be something else, but it's hardly offensive and it's barely noticeable. In fact, I wouldn't have even noticed it had you not asked.
All right, thank you very much. Maybe over the weekend I'll get into the attic. I really wanted my next step is to get a mount on the roof, get it. Right now I'm using LMR 400 equivalent, 20 feet right up into the attic, but then I want to go through a ridge vent, and I don't think this thickness of cable will make it through the ridge vent. So I was either going to go with an LMR 200 or a 240 just through the ridge vent and to the antenna and see how that works. All right, so I guess it's not that offensive if it's coming in okay. KD2, BKD, back to net.
Well, you bring up an interesting question, Bob, and maybe we should try to avoid adding more connectors and adapters and stuff, but, pardon me, my allergies are still kicking up. By any chance, is the issue of getting through the ridge vent one of the connector or the cable?
That would be the cable. I don't know how much space there is in the ridge vent. I don't know, roofers did the roof many 5 years ago or so, maybe a little longer, and they put a nice ridge vent in there, and I don't know how much space is in that ridge vent. Will the LM400 make it through that ridge vent, and then I'm going to have to cut the connector off the end, or maybe just put another LM400 up there and use this for something else, and... Because there's really not that much extra that I have that I could get to where I want to go with it, back to net.
Yeah, I'll be real honest. I'd be very interested in keeping that as one monolithic piece of cable, run a second one through, and just find a way to get that connector out and up, you know, out through that ridge vent. And if you, from the inside, have to modify the ridge vent a little bit, touch it up with a little paint. I mean, it's probably a white ridge vent. If you kind of gouge a little wood or things like that, just touch it up with a little paint someday, and, you know, you're good to go. In fact, if you're inside, you probably can, if you don't get too sloppy with it, you probably poke a brush out through the ridge vent to whatever you might happen to scrape, you know, pushing the connector through. But I would make a point of doing it that way, that's great. At least you have the ridge vent, and ridge vents are great for bringing stuff in, because you can always stuff the area immediately around the cable if need be with a little steel wool to keep the critters out. And that works well, and aesthetically, it's a low mar type of impairment to your house's facade, you know?
Yeah, just to clear up, I'm talking about the vent that goes along the whole ridge of the whole roof up at the top, where the two sides of the roof come on. Not a gable end, but just to make it clear that that's what you're talking about, Gordon. This is KD2 BKD.
Oh, okay. All right. So what? What a lot of people do is they have an airspace at the top of their attic, and yes, it's the gable end I was referring to, not to actually go out onto the roof through that. Now, you don't want to do that. You want to go through a gable end if you can. Now, if you don't have that and you have windows in the attic, what I would do is I would just get one of those attic jam, you know, things that allow you to pass cables through, and that way you just close the window down on it. Get a good seal stick-on foam just to make sure everything's happy, and pass your cables through that bulkhead, and that's even better. But, you know, blocking that, the gable end vents are really, that's what I was referring to. I'm sorry.
Yeah, in my case, I don't think the gable end is going to work. It's more like in the middle of the roof. So I'd like to go through that ridge vent, go up and then around, and then put a loop there so that water doesn't follow it in. There's no windows in the attic, and it's coming out the center. Otherwise, I'll have to come out a bottom of a vent pipe where that the metal flashing is or something. But that's even a little further away. So I'll have to see. Maybe if I just move the antenna, I know that that my cable goes through a PVC pipe which goes through a closet. I can always get a more through there. I think it's a 1.5-inch PVC pipe. It's not too big, but I didn't want to put... There wasn't that much room in the closet. So I can easily get from where my radios are to the attic. Not a problem. I could probably add another 3, 4, maybe even 5 LM400s. So, but it comes out in the middle of the house, not at a gable end. KD2 BKD back to net.
Well, that sounds pretty good. That sounds very good, actually. So yeah, go with what works. I mean, that's rule one. Which you may find. Sorry about that, dear. If she's joining me in the car here, we're gonna shoot down to our son's hockey game. But, yeah, it works just fine. And who knows, if that works well enough, you'll be satisfied. And if it's not good enough or you want to do more, then, you know, it's another piece of pipe and all that other mishigas. Yeah, that's fine. You know, that's all another conversation. So good for you. That's excellent. I'm glad to see people getting creative about having to find a low-impact way of, you know, getting cables in and out of the house. And not be frustrated with not getting on the air. That's most important. What I always find it interesting, and Bob, you certainly have transcended that, but there are people who have a house, and all of a sudden, it's like they live in an HOA. You know, their whole reaction to moving cables in and out of their house is like, oh, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. Who says you can't do that? If you engineer it properly, you can do anything, you know. Time, effort, or money, pick two, you know. And away you go. But that's super. That's absolutely super. I will let you in on a little story. Okay, I will let you in a story that in my house, when we were remodeling it, I remember Charlie, W-A-2-C-L, what the hell was Charlie's called? He used to live in Ridgewood. But when he before he moved out of Ridgewood, he had a mast that went through his house, and his rotator was in his basement. And it was grounded. He had a ground rod in a utility area in the center of his basement that literally was next to the rotator mount. He had two ground rods about, you know, a foot apart in through the concrete. Actually, it wasn't through the concrete. It was through like a French drain well that was in the middle of his basement. So that means it got moist, too, from time to time. It was excellent. But all surrounding it was a finished basement, but he hit this one spot where he had this. And so he made great use of it and had a bearing surface, you know, for the mast that went right up through his house. He had a big old house, like a three-story house, so that mast was probably 45 feet tall, going right up through the house. He went up on the roof, put up his antennas, and blah, blah, blah. So when I did mine, I did something similar. I have a mast that goes through a corner of my ham shack, which coincidentally is in the middle of my house, but it's on the third floor, and it's supported by two plane bearings in the corner, so it's got braces on two walls, and then the rotator is on the floor on the corner of the permanently installed desk bench in the corner of the room. In that corner that's always too far to reach, so it's perfect. So, anyway, with that little anecdote behind me, anybody else have anything to add?
K2OFC. I know with the events, considering that I work with the Richmond every day, if they opened up the Richmond, you should also have the open eaves. So you, instead of going up with the antenna line, you may want to go down, take it out through your eaves and bring it up on the roof.
Bob?
Yeah, going out through an eave, yeah, that's not a problem. I could go out an eave, but now that's going to add an extra, I don't know, 15 feet and then coming back, you know, there's an extra 30 feet of cable. I'm trying to make this wire as short as possible. I just want to go straight up. I don't want to make no bends. I don't want to go around anything. I want to go straight up from where I am. I'd like to have less than 30 feet of coax. And about just putting wire in the house, my primary hobby or interest is home automation. I have wires running all through my house. I have over a mile worth of wires, extra wires I put in my house because I don't know what the future holds. There's Cat 5 going to every single wall and every single room, all four walls. There's RG6, two RG6 and two Cat 5s on every single wall. I got this whole place wired. That's unbelievable. And I just didn't put any 50-ohm cable in. It's all 75. So I got wires and I got troughs and everything else, but this is where I am in the garage, so I never thought of putting wires into the garage going up to the attic. KD2, BKD, back to net.
That's the other thing you might want to think about is seeing what else you can do, but 15 feet's not going to be an appreciable problem, except maybe at like 1296 and above. So I wouldn't get too crazy. I like the idea of coming out on the ends only because any vertical moisture will be sheltered, so you know you have that advantage too. It's just a little bit better than the ridge vent, but you know both can be made to work, so you know you use your judgment, but I wouldn't get crazy over 15 feet, Bob.
That's 15 feet one way, 15 feet going back the other way. Now we're talking 30 feet, so I'd have to calculate it out and everything. Also, I like the ridge vent because you're not going to see it coming out of the house. It's just going to be hiding all the way up at the top. You're not going to see it on the sides. If it comes out over the gutter, I would have to go through the back, not the front. You have to keep everybody happy. So the ridge vent was, or maybe I'll figure out something to go to look the best and to work the best. KD2, BKD, back to net.
Okay, that's fine. Just FYI, in our house, when we remodeled, the other thing I did was I built a fake window that's framed like a window, except where there's glass. It's really a bunch of plywood, 3/4-inch plywood layers, and the stud wall behind it is actually sister 2x4s that are one behind the other, and there's an aluminum grounding plate on entry that goes back out to the tower, which is right outside, and bonded to the tower and then bonded to the ground rods below. So my entry point is all grounded out. So, and if I ever move, the fix is pull all the cables out, squirt foam in all the holes, get an aluminum, you know, a pretty aluminum siding sheet, you know, green, because that's what it is, to replace the one that has all the holes in it, and, you know, just bend it over the sheet of or the sheets of stacked 3/4-inch plywood, and everything will be fine. It'll just look like a green window up underneath the eave in the third floor of the house. So that's how I did mine. So that way it's not an aesthetic nightmare when we leave. But, you know, again, I had the good fortune of planning that little fiasco, what, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, whatever it is. Anyway, anybody else have any suggestions for Bob? All right, Bob, do you have anything else?
Nothing else. Thanks, everybody. KD2BKD, back to net.
That's a good topic. Antenna season is coming, and we got to get the cables in and out. My goal for this year is to replace some of my cables, which is a whole other conversation. And I have the cables. So that's the good news. It's not an acquisition issue. It's a time and effort issue. Alrighty. Mike, K2MEK, what's on your plate, sir? K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2MEP. I'm fairly new to the hobby. I have a 2730 in my car, and I have a FTM 10R on my motorcycle. I take a lot of trips
all over the country on the motorcycle, and I think that it's a good thing to have a 50-watt system on the motorcycle to reach out in case things happen, because I've had friends that have gone down and never been a cell site near where we're at. And, they've always carried little HDs, or some guys actually have full-blown radios on their bikes like I do now. My question is it worth for me to upgrade to, let's say, a 5100 or an FDM 400 in my car? Are the benefits that much better? And is D-Star or Fusion, I know that's the huge question right now, but in this area here, which one is more predominant? K2MEP, back to net.
Well, that's a really good question. So, I wouldn't necessarily get rid of your 2730, because, like you, I have one, and I'm about to reinstall it in this new car. I got this car in November, and just getting radios in it in November through the winter is always a pain, so I always seem to get new cars in November, which means that the antennas and such don't get all straightened out and everything until, like, May or June. dear me. So, number one, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. Your mobile environment for your motorcycle is set. So, the big question is, do you also want to get a digital radio? If you're interested in DMR, digital, DMR is very popular. Having said that, I have both a DMR radio and a Fusion radio. Actually, we have two. But Fusion and D-Star are about the same in this area as far as penetration. DMR has a much greater penetration than all of them. But it may not be to your liking. There's a great net on 442-900. That Jim, WHUMP, he's not with us tonight, runs, and let me drop it. And the other is that he runs that on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock on 442-900 in DN mode on Fusion. And then he also links it with an open spot on Saturdays to usually a state in the Midwest where there's just a ton of people, not just in that state, but other people have their stuff all bridged there on the weekend. And then on, I think it's Monday night, he bridges it to a room that is also bridged to the New York State DMR, what they call a talker. So does he do that on Tuesday as well? I can't remember. But there's a net on Monday night, and there's also his net, I'm sorry, on Tuesdays he bridges to the New York State DMR net, as well as a Fusion room that has that capability. And he does something else to yet another net on Monday night. So there's a lot of activity for Fusion on 442-900. So, and there are some other Fusion repeaters in the air, but again, DMR probably has more penetration because a lot of people like Moto Turbo, which is the same thing. That's the Motorola brand name for DMR.
Okay, so neither, I'm not really too familiar with the digital format. I know, like I said, there is Fusion and there's D-Star and then I guess there's DMR. But do either one of those units, being the 5100 or the FDM 400, work in DMR, or would it have to be a separate DMR radio, like you said, either a Motorola or I think Hytera has a DMR only unit. So I don't know if there's a compatibility procedure for them to be people to do DMR, or if they're just units that are dedicated to either D-Star or Fusion. K2MEP, back to net.
Well, there's... I'm not so sure I'd bother with D-Star. Unless you have an affinity for D-Star because you know somebody who's using it who you really want to talk to a lot, blah, blah, blah. You know, it just doesn't float my boat. I can do pretty much the same nonsense with DMR and to a lesser extent Fusion. So that's one thing. So getting a Fusion radio has its own benefits. Having said that, an FTM-400 has some other benefits. It does APRS, and it also, has the ability to do Fusion as well as FM. And in fact, the APRS side will tell other people, if you configure it that way, what your main VFO or main channel is set to. In other words, it'll show the operating frequency and tone, whether it's analog or digital tone, and mode of what you're doing on the A side of the radio when it beacons on the B side. So it's pretty cool. It's okay for APRS. If you want an APRS radio, I would look at the Kenwood mobile. Was it the 710? I think it is. That's a whole nother kettle of fish, because that's just got a more fully functional APRS capability. But you didn't ask that, so let's stay away. Another thing you can do is you can get an open spot or one of these other things and connect it to a room that crosses, between the Fusion world and the DMR world. And a lot of people do that as well.
Yeah, thanks for that information. I guess I really need to start doing a little bit more more studying in that. But I've talked to a couple of local guys, and they've all recommended exactly what you have said about the, Fusion versus the D-Star setups, especially around here, and the flexibility that Fusion has, with the APRS and sending the data information as to what's on your VFOA, on the digital signal there. So I did hear about that. So I have to just do a little more research on it up there and figure out exactly what I want to do with it. I kind of like the APRS aspect of it. I wish there was an APRS system that was waterproof that I could put on the bike, because that would also help everything, in case of situations. Even though I do carry a GPS on the bike, so I have GPS coordinates on there. I can always put out on the radio. But being able to ping people around you and see if you can see what frequencies they are would make an emergency situation a lot better. K2MEP, back to net.
Yeah, K2MEP, W2, TTT, K2BAR. Okay, yes, so just to recap, there's probably more DMR than anything else in Metro New York, New Jersey, and Philly. Well, not so much Philly. Philly, it's more mixed. Then I think a lot of D-Star machines either became Fusion machines or DMR machines over the last few years. And then there are also some Fusion machines. The Fusion stuff is not as, should we say, it's not as extensive, but it's also not as crazy. There are some people who get a little nuts about administration. There's no centralized registration authority for your Fusion stuff. There is for your DMR. Each radio is bonded to a call sign and has to have a unique ID. So if you have two radios, you need to get a second ID if there's any chance of those two radios appearing on the net at the same time. Otherwise, the net will lock that ID out, and that's kind of a pain in the ass to unglue. So you don't want to go there. My wife and I each have a DMR ID, But I have a second DMR ID for another toy, just in case I get another radio or something. I don't have to, you know, apologize and the like. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments about this digital stuff?
Yeah, this is KD2BKD. I just bought the TYT-MD380, which is a very good starting point. It only does DMR with the 5 watts. I can easily hit the K2 MAC repeater on the Empire State Building, 20 miles away, not a problem. I like the DMR. I don't know anything about the Fusion or the other one, but and I also get on to the net with Jim on Tuesday nights through the Empire State Building, or Orangeburg also has it, but Orangeburg has been there's a problem there, but that particular tri borough whole network works excellent in this area. I haven't taken it out of the area, but I like the DMR, and also that radio is only $100, so you can get started with that and see if you want a better radio, but for $100, you can't beat it. KD2BKD, back to net.
That's all good points, Bob. And yeah, there's the TYT-MD380. There's the Kinect Systems radio, which is a little more expensive. There's a Hytera radio that's not very expensive. There's an Ushan or a Biaofeng, I can't remember, but that's got it's a Biaofeng. The Biaofeng has got a problem in that it transmits on both talk groups at the same time, so some systems have actually figured out a way to detect that and will basically not let you in, so don't buy a Biaofeng, no matter how cheap they are. And then, let's see, there's one other that's kicking around. I forget, but there's a couple other radios that are very inexpensive and very, very good, but you can't really go wrong. You have to decide what you want. There are also some that have some software mods to try other protocols other than DMR, so that's being toyed with as well, so... You know, the worst case is you brick a radio. I don't want to brick a $100 radio, but in those cases, you may not be able to unbrick it. I'm not sure, but there's a lot of good stuff out there, and it's an experimenter's playland. There were amateur radio operators were taking the commercial stuff to places that it originally wasn't intended to do, and making it work really, really well, and kind of tweaking the commercial systems as to what they should do. Anybody else with a comment?
K2BAR, WA2IC. Gordon, I don't know, were you able to get any outdoor Cat 5 cable? You've mentioned that you had access to a bunch of surplus of that. Over.
Yeah, we'll get to that topic in a minute, Bob. The answer is I think I can, but let's stay on topic for a minute.
N2DI.
Tom, go right ahead.
Thank you. K2BAR is on the digital topic. There's a German manufacturer, I think, that's trying to stuff a couple of bolognese in the same package. They keep promising, I forget their name, I'm sure Gordon will actually know the name of it. There's a whole bunch of cross-banding and cross-modal and quasi-modal. But the entry fee is like $900. And although they have a deliverable, it's not very powerful. That deliverable is still a prototype, and because they've stuffed so much baloney in the same package, it really, really runs hot. So I think the maximum wattage out of it is either 20 watts or maybe 30 watts. So there's a downside and upside to everything, you know. How much money, how deep are your pockets, and how long are you willing to wait. Back to K2, VAR, and 2DI.
Yeah, and you put me on a hook for the name, and I as you were starting to mention it, I said to Nancy, I said, and I don't remember the name of the company either. And then you said, and Gordon will remember it. And I went, no, I won't. We both laughed when you said that. So anyway, yeah, I wasn't going to mention that radio yet because I still think it's vaporware, you know, as practical speak. You know, it was another good resource, Marco, KC2ZMA, as well as Jim, WA2UMP. Those two guys, you know, live in apartments, and they have spent an amazing amount of time, and frankly, an amazing amount of money in very small increments, buying Raspberry Pis and various interfaces for their digital toys. So they have an open spot, and they have a few other things that basically are soft programmable access points and or transceivers. That's how Jim, for instance, puts 442-900 onto the net. He actually does it from his home using an open spot. And you can change the protocol in use in those open spots from one protocol to the next. So it's rather clever, and it's something to give due consideration to as we roll forward. That may be another way to do that. So you tie it to a room or tie it to a talk group that does multiple protocols, even maybe even D-Star. And that way you can bridge to people who have other kinds of radios and such. So that's a pretty cool way to go as well. And if you've done what Bob suggested, bought one of those DMR handy talkies or even a Fusion handy talkie from someone who decided that Fusion handy talkie wasn't for them, buy it used, you know, you're in good shape. I like to buy HD so to do FM and the digital protocol. It's just a matter of personal preference. I want to get dual use out of the radio. Even if I only get one band, I want to at least get dual use. So anybody else?
W2JC, no traffic, cover.
Well, good evening, Jim. W2JC acknowledged. Welcome aboard. All right, anybody else? Okay, just Nancy's reporting that the Ottawa Senators have beaten the New York Rangers 2-1 in game one of the conference semifinals. Oh, Lord. All righty. As a Devil fan, I couldn't be happier. Go, Sens, go. Anyway. Let's see. Alrighty. Let's see. Mike, anything else you want to add?
NJ2BS. Repeat.
K2MP. No, that was great information. I really, really appreciate all the input from you guys. And, you know, I know there's a wealth of knowledge out there with you guys. And like I said, I do appreciate everybody chiming in on that. I know I have to do more research on it. It's very intricate and all the different possibilities and options that are available right now, like you said, with the spot and the Raspberry Pis. I have played with the Raspberry Pi a little bit, you know, just doing stuff on it. So, again, thank you so much for all the input and the help, and now my head's full of just other ideas now to to try to put this together. So, K2MEP, back to net.
And 2DI.
Good, Tom.
Thank you, Gordon. K2VAR. Mike, you'll find KC2ZMA on YouTube, and I'll tell you, if people have a hunger for what he's selling, an unbelievable amount of views on his DMR, open spot, and other demonstration or demonstrable YouTubes, as well as just some kind of like casual walkthroughs on it. So I believe if you go to YouTube and just type in KC2ZMA, you'll end up at Marco's channel and take a look around. Good luck with that. He's really got a good mastery of it. Jim, WA2UMP as well. And I will now be quiet, which will make W2JC happy. So, K2BAR, this is N2DI. Back to net.
Okay, very good. So, a couple of things. KC2ZMA is a good keyword on YouTube. And, of course, OpenSpot. And I want to say, is it Northwest Digital? I think Northwest Digital has some products. And there's a couple other... Blue something? Blue... Oh, God. Anyway. There's a couple of different modules, you know, that they can... You can plug into PCs or Raspberry Pis and the like to create gateways and such, so it's pretty exciting. A lot of good stuff. K2MEP, pardon me, allergies are still going. W2TTT. Alright, anything else, Mike? No, I'm good. Thank you so much for the help. I really appreciate it, Gordon, and everybody else. Thank you. K2MEP. Back in that. Now we want to hear what you come up with by next week and maybe have another pile of questions. Alrighty, let's see. Bob, K2OFC, how did you make out with those nodes? Were you able to get into them and change them up?
BAR, K2OFC.
I was able to get into them. It's when I read your email, I was reminded that Capital Camp. So I was able to get into them. It's I'm still seeing a little issue in that unless I'm plugged directly into the node that has the PX on it. The SIP phone is not recognizing the connection. And I did take a look through the documentation, and there's some mention that the mesh and voice don't like the NAT, the NAT address. Address.
Okay, so. You need to have your PBX be an advertised service, number one, on the PBX that propagates to the other nodes. Number two, you need to put that address in the phone as to what to go connect to, in the SIP clients to go connect to it. And that should allow them to get anywhere from anywhere else. So you shouldn't be using that addressing. Since you have a small network, I would set all of the nodes up for 13 port DHCP, 13 address DHCP. Give them a new password using the same format as what you saw. Change the distance parameter to something really short, just because they're not going to go real far the way they are. And what else? That's about it. But the real trick is to set the PBX up as an advertised service, so that way it propagates to the other nodes. And make sure that you're using 13 address DHCP on each one, just because you can. And don't try to do the advertised service after you do that for all your nodes.
I know I have to change the address. The address is not to DHCP. We'll probably play with that tomorrow. To, hopefully, be
done with it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, when you change the call sign and when you change the address space for each node, it will actually give out all new addresses. So you got to do that first, save it, reboot, and then once you have the new address, then what you do is, and the node name, whatever, it's going to then have a stable address space, and you just go see what, you know, go into the DHCP assignments, and you'll see what address was administered to the PI, or to your PBX, if you will, and then you take that address, make it an advertised service, and then, you know, have it do its magic from there. So you should be good after that.
Thank you, sir. And, as I said, I appreciate all the help, and it's the fun of learning.
Yes, it is. Alrighty. Let's see. I will not be at Fairlawn tomorrow night because I will be at Camp Novi Bosco for a scout event this weekend. And let's see what else. That's all I need to say about that. And let's see. I guess the next question is WA2ISC. You had asked about outdoor cable. Yes, I can get some. What are your requirements, and I'll see what I can do for you. K2BAR.
NJ2BS, repeat.
2BAR, WA2IC. I think I need about 20, maybe 30 feet of it, or so it'll run to a 900 megahertz node I have mounted on a mast. Over.
Yeah, you do need to figure out what kind of masts you want to do and how high you can go. I am kind of amazed, Bob, that you don't have a tower on your property.
I just never thought I would need such a thing. I do have a vertical antenna, but it's kind of beat up and probably doesn't work real well for HF. Over.
Yeah, put up a couple of dipoles or a big loose square loop or something way up high in the trees. But, I don't know. It depends on what you're trying to do. And you've got a lot of trees on your yard, too, so it's tricky as to where you'd put a tower, and then it's even trickier as to what you'd be able to spin. And then there's the issue of getting permission from your municipality. You can refer them to ISO versus River Edge and see how well that, or River Edge versus ISO, and remind them that the Third Circuit had a very strong opinion about that.
Okay, as far as trees go, I have significantly less trees than I used to. About 5 years ago, a windstorm took a bunch down.
Okay, that simplifies things at some level. So maybe you got some room. I don't know how deep your lot is, but there might be something to consider. Anyway. Very good. I will see what I can do about that. I'll put my marker in on Monday, and in a week or two, we should have some stuff kicking around, if it's still available. And I suspect it will be. From other projects that no longer require it.
Okay, Gordon. Now that I think of it, I suppose a longer length, if it's available, would be preferable anyway. Also, I guess, if I remember rightly, there's a ham fest, the Barra Ham Fest, next month sometime. Maybe that's when we could meet up. Over.
Bob, if I get it, I will be driving up the parkway with it, driving across your street, and throwing it onto your front porch as I go by.
Okay, that'll work.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even make that even. I wouldn't make you wait. second I get it, it's going to come into my car, be transported up the parkway, and be deposited on your doorstep. So, yeah, no problem. Dear me. Anyway, anybody else? Alrighty, well, we'll save the Gotham Shield stuff for another night. I want to thank everybody for a fun net tonight, and thank you all for your participation. Please remind yourself to look at the ComTech group on Yahoo Groups, and if you're not a member, feel free to shoot me an email requesting same, or simply go up on the Yahoo group and, you know, find it and ask to be a member. And I'll approve you as soon as I see the email. So, again, thank you very much. This is K2BAR2TTT signing clear. Wishing you all a fine good night. See you soon.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.